Today on Real Radio.
And people, have you ever shared Jesus Christ? You ever do that? And you can mention all kinds of things. You mention Jesus and you can hear the door slam in their brain and their heart. We have a little thing that some friends taught us, actually. When somebody says something, you'll be at the store and somebody will say God's name in vain. Well, we've taken on now filling that statement. They might say Jesus, and they'll say Jesus Christ, and then we'll say, is Lord God.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts. We're looking at the first 15 verses of chapter 17, the chapter that is sometimes cited by scholars who defend the faith intellectually. Well, even though we can do so, Scripture also promises that we will be met with opposition. Jesus said it, Paul said it, John said it. Our teacher has entitled this study, What to Expect When You Share Jesus. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Get this in your mind. How were you led to Christ? Somebody was sharing with you, and something was used by the Holy Spirit, a word, an analogy, a parable, and it opened your mind for the first time. It means to break open the womb, to be born. 13 years ago today, my daughter opened the womb for the first time, firstborn. It means to have the womb open for the first time. Very powerful word. And then he demonstrated. The word means to place the truth right alongside their heads so they can handle it, chew it, taste on it, and see. It means to lay down the evidence alongside their head so that they can sample it and test it. That's what the word demonstration means. He laid it out there. Not by force. He just laid it out there for them to take. In 1 Peter 3:15, am I going too quick? Didn't mean to wake you up. 1 Peter 3:15. But set apart or sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Have you done that? His next line is, always being ready, prepared, and on the lookout to give a defense by presenting a strong logical case to everyone who will ask you to give a reason for the hope that you have. Do this with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience that when they defame you as an evildoer, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. Are you able to give them reasons why you are a Christian? When you say, I'm going to heaven, the world ought to knock on your door and say, why? I saw you. You yell at your kids. You bit your dog. You slammed the door. Why are you going to heaven? Give me a reason. Can you give them a reason? Paul says, be ready always, or Peter, be ready always to give an answer. The second thing I want you to see in verses 4 to 9 is the results of being a faithful or faithful to the Word of God. The results of being faithful to the Word of God. Verse 4, let's see what happens. All this beautiful teaching and evangelism, let's see what happens. And some of them were persuaded. Wow. To convince the mind, to bring them to obedience is what it means. And a great multitude of devout Greeks, that's Gentiles, and I love the way the Bible puts it, and not a few of the leading women, not a few, that means a whole lot of them, of the leading women, get a load of this. Women naturally are drawn to the gospel. Why? Because it liberates them. The reason why Jewish and Gentile women were coming to the gospel is because it freed them up from the tyranny of the Middle East. It was liberating and brought them to an equality with man. That's the foundation for the argument that we are equal. Yes, Abraham Lincoln said, all men are created equal. You know where he got that from? He got it from the Bible. That's a Christian concept. It's not a Muslim concept. It's not a Buddhist concept. It's a Christian concept. It first arose in Christianity. Very important we understand that. And so the women were responding, and not a few of them. They were coming to Christ, and they joined Paul and Silas, verse 5. But the Jews who were not persuaded. The word not persuaded literally means that they became hardened against. They were not only not convinced, they were hardened against the truth. You may be sitting here this morning saying, I don't need to hear any more about this. I need to go home and mow my lawn. You better be careful. Because when you walk out on the truth, I'm not saying me. What I have to say to you is absolutely zero. I have nothing to say. I'm trying to give you what the words mean and what the Bible verses say, because that's where the decision will be made. So if you walk out of this place, hopefully, you're walking out on a message where you've been forced to make a decision. And the Bible teaches that if you harden your heart against the word, like Pharaoh did, your heart becomes sealed in not coming to faith in Christ, or being not persuaded is to be set in a way that you cannot be persuaded later. The Bible says, he who often hardens his heart shall be taken away, and that without remedy. That's a serious thing, God says. I don't know when that time happens, but I know when death comes, that time had already come in that person's life. But they were brought to a place of decision. Some of them were persuaded, some of them were not persuaded. But that's what the gospel does. Billy Graham says, if I'm faithful to present the Bible to the audience, decisions will be made. Some will be yes, and some will be no, but decisions will be made. That's a tremendous thought. God says in Isaiah 55:11 that my word will not return to you void. And so, they not only chose against the gospel message, look what it says, they became envious. The word means to be heated or boiled up. They became heated against these guys with jealous envy. And they took some of the evil men. These are really bad guys, thugs, gang members, bums, bad guys. The old King James, I think, says a baser sort or something like that. Lewd men of a baser sort. Well, you're a lewd man of a baser sort. That means you're just down there with the scum. These guys are scummy guys. So this religious group goes out and gets these thugs to go after these men. And it says, from the marketplace, they gathered them, and they got a mob going and set all the city in an uproar, and they attacked the house of Jason. That's where Paul and Silas were hanging out. And they sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some of his brethren to the rulers, crying out, quote, I love this. These who have turned the world upside down have come here too. We ought to pull Calvary Chapel off the front of this building and put, these who turned the world upside down. Isn't that a great line? It should say, I guess, those who turn the world right side up. They were guilty of being right on. Look at these guys. Man, they're freaking out the world with their gospel. May it be so. Amen. God bring it on. Love to have it. It says in verse 7, Jason has harbored them. And these all, acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying, there is another king, Jesus. This is important, people. Circle the word another. The word literally means a king of a different type, a king of a different order, a king of a different leadership. Not a king like Caesar, a king that is totally different from Caesar. Isn't that great news? Jesus Christ is totally different from Caesar. And the message caused the world to be turned upside down. And I thought about this for a moment. I just jotted down in my notes how Jesus messes things up. How Jesus messes things up. When I came to Christ, I was having a great time. I'll make no excuse for it. I was sinning and having a blast doing it. I was having a good time being a sinner. Came to faith in Christ and then tried to sin again. And you go out and you try to sin just like you've been doing before, and it just, things don't work right. You feel terrible. You can't even sin good anymore after you become a Christian. It doesn't work right. And then after a while, God's working on my heart and the Word's coming to my life and you begin to change. And I love how Jesus messes up a life. You are caught in this kind of a groove. You're doing this thing and you think, well, this is the way my friends do it. This is how my parents did it. I guess it's the way I have got to do it too. And Jesus comes into your life and messes all up the whole thing, routine, throws it out the window. Completely freaks it out. And you wind up being liberated. You wind up having power. You wind up having focus and vision in your life. And you wind up having the hope of heaven. Jesus messes things up. He turns the world upside down. But when he does that, he causes things to be right side up. Jesus said in John 18:36, he says, "My kingdom is not of this world." So they're right. He is, in fact, another king of a totally different type. So make no mistake about the message they preached. It was that Jesus is king. And you couldn't hail Caesar and hail Jesus at the same time. I know a lot of people try, and they tried, but you can't do it. And then the third and final thing I want you to see is that there's a joy of serving out God's word in verses 10 to 15. It says, "Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews." Does that sound familiar? It's like, take two, synagogue of the Jews, take two. But now they're in Berea, another city. Not Thessalonica anymore. Watch what happens. But they were more fair-minded, or they were more reasonable. They were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, verse 11, in that they received the word with all readiness, and they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether the things that Paul was saying was really true. I'm going to bore you with some more of this, of these meanings. Number one is that they received the word. It means that they had, listen carefully, an open mind that was open enough to take in what was being said. And the word means they laid the claims alongside their heart. They didn't put it in their heart. They just laid it alongside their heart. They said something like what you and I might have said at some point in time when we were coming to faith is, I need to think about this. Let me think about this a minute. And you're honest. You're not rejecting. You're just saying, I need to think about this now. And you have some questions. So they received the message, the same message that was delivered earlier, same message, but rather than rejecting it, they laid alongside their heart. They're going to chew on it just a little bit. And it says that they not only received, but it says that they did so with a readiness. That word readiness means a predisposition to have their mind set open. Having a forwardness or a willing mind to receive. And people, have you ever shared Jesus Christ? You ever do that? And you can mention all kinds of things. You mention Jesus and you can hear the door slam in their brain and their heart. We have a little thing that some friends taught us, actually. When somebody says something, you'll be at the store and somebody will say God's name in vain. Well, we've taken on now filling that statement. They might say Jesus, and they'll say Jesus Christ, and then we'll say, is Lord God? You see, and when they'll say God, they'll ask God to damn this or God to damn something else or God to damn that over there. And we'll say, you know, let the mercy of the Lord endure forever or something. You respond. But we don't like to hear it. And we don't want to go up there and just confront the guy. So we'll just say, Jesus Christ is Lord God. And it kind of cleans up the atmosphere around you. Puts a good taste in everybody's mouth. And ears, unless you say that and people go, what? They're almost more comfortable with the cursing than they are with the truth. Jesus Christ, and everyone goes, yeah, yeah, right, right. Is Lord God, what? We were up in Los Angeles and we were looking at a theater that had been created by a bunch of churches for the presentation of the gospel in the early 1900s. But in 1964, The county of LA ruled, because there was a lawsuit brought against the theater, the amphitheater, that no longer can the Passion Play be presented every Saturday night because of its religious content. The theater was created by churches, it was funded by churches, and the message that was given on Saturday nights was the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ every Saturday for some 50-some-odd years, and somebody sued and won. And I love the next statement in that little thing of history. It said, since that time, I don't even think they were aware of what they were saying. Since that time, the attendance at the amphitheater has dwindled dramatically to the present time. And I said, amen. Can you imagine walking up there? Now listen, you want your market to increase? Oh yeah, yeah, we want our market to increase. You want to have better revenue? You want to get these concessions flowing? Sure do. What do you got for us, man? Bring Jesus back on Saturday nights. And the moment you say that, hearts either swing open and say, yeah, we'll give it a try. We'll consider that. Or, what are you, some kind of a freak? Yeah, I guess I am. Just want to turn the world upside down. We need to be very, very careful that we're following Jesus and not our own feelings. And the third thing, look at what it says there, that they search the scriptures. By the way, this is my prayer for this church, Acts 17:11. But look at the word searched. The word means to scrutinize, to investigate, to interrogate the word of God, to question and to judge. Isn't this wonderful, people? You know, you don't have to tiptoe around the neighborhood thinking you've got to protect the Bible. You know, the Bible says this is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. You don't defend a sword. Well, I got the sharpest sword in the county. You don't boast about a sword. You pull it out and you use it. You don't talk about it. You cut something up with it. The Bible says, don't defend me, use me. And it goes so far to say, you receive it, lay it alongside your heart, and you think about it. Okay, have an open mind. And then you judge the snot out of this thing. You scrutinize this thing and you rake it over the coals and you judge it. The Bible says you judge it and you see if it's not true. Isn't that great? Are you standing on that today, Christian? Isn't it wonderful? We don't have to go out there and go, well, I'm a Christian. Why? I don't know. I don't believe in Christianity. Okay, that's fine. We should say, I'm a Christian. Why? Why? Because it's absolute truth. If you stand knowing what you know, if you stand behind that, God will use you. You will have an answer to give to everyone who asks of you, a reason for the hope that's within you. Look at verse 12. Because they received it, they had an open mind, and they searched and judged the Bible to see if it was true. Verse 12, you ought to circle the word therefore, highlight it, underline it, write your name next to it. It's the most wonderful word. It means therefore, or because of, or on the account of what has just happened, they made a commitment to Christ. That's key. They made a commitment. Look what happened. They believed, and also not a few Greeks, that means a lot of Greeks, prominent women as well as men, not only prominent, listen to this, the word prominent means wealthy, powerful, and educated. Did you hear that? Prominent people accepted Christ. They were wealthy, they were powerful, and they had a brain. You may not be wealthy, you may not be powerful, but you got a brain. If you use your brain the way it's described, it ought to be used in Acts 17:11, you will come to faith in Christ because it is reasonable and logical. Look at verse 13. But when the Jews from Thessalonica, oh brother, here comes these guys again, learned that the word of God was being preached by Paul, that's the problem. They were mad at Paul because Paul spoke with authority and he knew what he was talking about. If they would have heard, hey, you know what? Down there in Berea, some guy named Jack's preaching the gospel. Well, big deal. But they said, Paul. That's it. And look, the enemy's got his own missionaries. You see this? Look what happens. It says, when they learned that Paul was preaching the gospel there, they came there also and stirred up the crowds. Hell's got their own missionaries. Verse 14, then immediately the brethren sent Paul away. They're going to kill him. To go by sea, both Silas and Timothy remained there. So those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens and received a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed, and they departed. Jesus said in Matthew 23, we'll be done in a moment. In Matthew 23:15, Jesus says, woe to you, you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. That sounds a little argumentative, doesn't it? For you travel land and sea to win one convert, and when he is won, you make him twice as much the son of hell as you are yourselves. That's Matthew 23:15. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild. He says, Oai, not Hawaii, but Oai. Woe unto you, damned be you, judged be you, cursed be you, scribes and Pharisees, you religious hypocrites. You guys go around and you peddle your wares and you get converts, and when they come into your legalistic bondage, they're twice as worse the children of hell than they are than you are yourselves. Amazing indictment Jesus gives them. So what does Paul do? Give up? Take off his badge. I'm not doing this anymore. No, they load him up and they ship him on, and they're going to send him to Athens. And I'm not going to tell you about how rough of a trip it was. That was a rough trip, and they loved him much to do this in such a quick period of time. But he went, always on the go, in verse 15. I read yesterday David Livingstone. When he was asking for support for his ventures, somebody asked him, where do you prepare to go? And Livingston replied, anywhere as long as it's forward. And I like that.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called What to Expect When You Share Jesus, an insightful presentation to the believer who wants to know what lies ahead when evangelizing. It's a look at the first 15 verses of Acts chapter 17. Be sure and join us again on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Listen, if you haven't yet visited SoCalProphecyConference.com, please make a note to do so. SoCalProphecyConference.com is where you'll be informed on the upcoming prophecy conference happening here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills next month. Here's Pastor Jack with more.
Hi, this is Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel Chino Hills. The Southern California Bible Prophecy Conference is just around the corner, January 11th, 12th, and 13th. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, right here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills. If you think this is just another prophecy conference, then you'd want to visit us at SoCalProphecyConference.com. That's SoCalProphecyConference.com. As you'll see there, the lineup of speakers is an amazing example of God's grace, all in one event under one roof. You'll learn from former Muslims who now serve the Lord Jesus Christ, experts who have experienced radical Islam firsthand. Learn how and why we need to reach them with the love of Jesus Christ and the gospel of God. And find out what the Quran really has to say about the Jew and the Christian, about America and the nation of Israel. Find out how all of this ties together in light of Bible prophecy. The Southern California Bible Prophecy Conference is this January 11th, 12th, and 13th, right here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills. This is a ticketed event, and the cost is just $25 for the entire weekend. Visit us at SoCalProphecyConference.com or call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO, 877-777-2346.
Thanks, Pastor Jack. Remember, SoCalProphecyConference.com or 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills in Southern California and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.